Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show, heard every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on our sister station, KLZ 560. If this is your first time to join us, we'd like to have you check out our website, and that is huntingtheway.com. All of our past shows are there, so if you've missed some, you'd like to go back and hear, we've had a lot of great guests on, and most of the time we have pastors, evangelists, different friends of mine on the show, and cover a lot of different topics just in our daily walk of the Christian life. If you have any questions or comments about the show, we also welcome those. You can send me an email, scott@huntingtheway.com. I'd like to welcome back a very, very good friend of mine, Pastor Ron Jones from El Dorado, Kansas, on this Resurrection Sunday. So, Brother Jones, how are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, and hey, he is risen. He is risen indeed.
Absolutely. And, you know, what an exciting day in the day we live in, you know, for Christians, while it seems like our world, our government, everything's just in complete chaos. Boy, you know, to know that that tomb is empty gives us our hope and our faith that we have in our Christian life. And so, you know, we talked a little bit before the show, but I wanted to have you just really share from your pastoral standpoint and, you know, as we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, just share with our listeners something that you believe would be a big help to us today.
Well, I'd love to, Scott, and again, thanks for the opportunity. You know, on this day, we are focused on the single greatest world-changing event. If Jesus really raised from the dead, that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he did. This gives the believer hope beyond this world, and it challenges those who would question if there is a God straight up, almost to their face, to make a decision. And it challenges them, because if Jesus is risen from the dead, as the Bible says, and as history actually kind of concurs with, I have several books on the subject, but there are several facts that point to the resurrection of Jesus. So if these things are true, and they were recognized by those who lived in the day, especially the disciples and the early church, then it's truly a world-changing event that, you know, no matter what the political climate is, or no matter what things we face in the world, you know, I know global warming is a big issue in many people's minds, and we won't go into whether we're in agreement with that or not, but just, you know, all of these things that seem to be so paramount, if Jesus has really risen as he said he is, then the truth is, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through.
Right.
And that was the story that Jesus tried to get across. That was the truth he tried to get across to his disciples. And I think for us, we should listen to those words. So, you know, I'm really keyed in this time of year on Jesus's words before his death and before to the disciples, so that they would catch the significance of what was getting ready to happen. And in Matthew 16, starting in verse number 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So in this first part, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he's trying to clear up, in my mind, some noise. He wants the disciples to know who he is. He wants them to, beyond just hearing what others say, he wants them to make a choice for themselves. And so he asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" He asked them specifically this question, and then it's interesting. He says, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So he gives them the answer in the question, which is really interesting.
Right.
So that they would catch that this was an important conversation that they're getting ready to have, and I've given you the answer. I want you to catch, you know, I want you to decide for yourselves. It wasn't a trick. It wasn't anything that he was trying to fool them. And even for us, as we read it, you know, 2,000 years later in 2016, celebrating the resurrection, he wasn't trying to, fool anybody or build a following. He wanted them to understand for their own personal selves and their lives the significance of what the answer was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked them the question, and in verse number 14, they give him the answers of the people, of what the people have said. And so they say he's John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, which would be Jeremiah, and then some say one of the other prophets. And Jesus then turns back to them and says, but whom say ye that I am? So the first thing I see here is that we've got to put the noise of the world. The world says all kinds of things about Jesus. They make all kinds of statements. People call themselves Christians today. There are no such thing. They call themselves Christians, and they use that to promote their agenda. Jesus wasn't promoting an agenda. He was trying to draw these men, these followers, into something beyond just what they had heard. He wanted them to believe, actually, the truth of who he was. And so in verse number 15 and 16, he wants to know who they think he is. In verse 16, Simon Peter answers and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So the answer that Peter comes to, after everyone has given their opinions of what the people said, Peter comes across with this thought that, you know, Jesus is not a buddy. He's not someone that gives us what we want when we want it, when we pray. The Bible says in Hebrews that he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And that's where he was pulling out that son when he says, who do you say? Who do men say that I am, I the Son of Man am? And then he says, "Whom say ye that I am?"
Right.
And so, again, whom do you say the Son of Man is? And a determination is already in the scriptures that Jesus had given. In fact, in John chapter number 4, which is interesting, there's a lot of people in this day and age that say Jesus never proclaimed himself to be the Messiah, or he never proclaimed himself to be God, which all you have to do is read the book of John, and several times he says, "I am." I am is not just language that he used to convey, you know, I am this person. But the words "I am" were very significant to the Jews, because "I am" was always used in connection with God whenever it was speaking of something of significance.
Mm-hmm.
So in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and they've gone through a bit of a discussion, and she begins to understand something. So in verse number 25, she says, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh," which is called Christ. "When he is come, he will tell us all things." Verse 26 is significant, because the Bible says there, "Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." So he wanted her to know that what you are sensing, that there's a Messiah coming, I'm telling you, I am the Messiah. So him being that I am, and Peter recognizing that, is the truth that he wanted all of the disciples to arrive at for themselves, because there's a significant event coming. that they are going to have to deal with. And that's the loss of their leader and their teacher, the one that they loved, and which, you know, they express that many times over in the scriptures when they're following him. But, you know, they're getting ready to lose him, and so he wants them to understand this for themselves. A great application for you and I today is that Jesus still wants us to decide for ourselves who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to force himself on us. His agenda is for us. It's not for him. He's going to be glorified no matter what because he is the Son of God. But he wants to offer us an opportunity to understand the truth of who he is. In fact, in John, again, in chapter number 1, and it's a pretty familiar portion of Scripture, in John chapter number 1, it gives us the truth of who Jesus is, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it brings out that Jesus is the Word of God. And the Bible says in verse number 11, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, one of the disciples, in fact, he's called the beloved disciple, in that very first chapter of introduction of the letter that he's writing, says, hey, Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Word of God incarnate. Well, let's just break it all down. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is, if you would go back to the Old Testament, Emmanuel, God with us.
Right.
And so the significance that Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples in that first portion there that we read in Matthew 16 is, okay, I want to know what you hear from the world. And then I want you to sift through everything the world says, and it's time for you to make a choice. Who am I? Who exactly do you think that I am? Because Jesus Christ calls all of us to a personal relationship with him.
Right. You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Wadley. My guest today, Pastor Ron Jones from El Dorado, Kansas. If you're ever in that Wichita, Kansas area, looking for a good church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, this is a great, great church. And, you know, it brings a point, like I say, it's a personal because you meet people every day. I meet people that, and so many different people have, again, we could do a whole show just on that word, hey, yes, I'm a Christian, and what does that mean to different people? But it is a personal relationship. You know, it doesn't matter what our background is, what our parents were like, what they believed, what foundation we grew up under, whatever. It is a personal thing, and boy, if you think about the disciples and things having to, you know, and they're right there walking with Jesus, and if they had to be kind of reminded or asked those questions, wow, how often should we be really, really be looking at, you know, who God is to us?
Exactly, and it's interesting that you go there because that actually ties into the next part of that chapter, and see, your reasoning is what Jesus is trying to get the disciples to do, is to reason out for themselves. Why? Well, let's be honest. When Ron Jones decided that Jesus Christ really is and truly is the Savior, he is the Son of God, it was life-changing for me and should have been. And when Scott Wadley made that choice and made that decision, the change didn't happen immediately. But over time, the more I believe that and follow that, the more that I understand that everything that's in the Scriptures and everything that Christ has for me that sometimes I don't like, let's be honest, is actually better for me than what I could possibly want for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible says, you know, there we read verse 20, then he charged his disciples they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So he didn't want them going around trying to convince people. He wanted people to discern for themselves it was not yet time to preach the gospel. It was time for them to grow as disciples, for them to take in. And of course, this is, you know, before Jesus had died and risen again, but he wanted the disciples to really dwell on and think about that truth. So in verse 21, and this is where we kind of get into the Easter thing and to Resurrection Sunday, the Bible says in verse 21, from that time forth, when they had made their decision after he had told Peter, you know, all of the things that he told Peter he was going to accomplish and be part of, and, you know, let's just make just a side note. Peter was not the founder and the base of the church, the foundation of the church, like some would have us believe. Peter was simply a person that was going to be used to propagate that truth, as were all of the disciples, because Jesus told them that after he raised from the dead. But he did say this, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. And he did say that whatever the church, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, whatsoever bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And so there is power given to the church by the Holy Spirit of God, which Jesus would explain in John 14, 15, 16, and then pray concerning in 17. But here we're going with that thought that he wants them to make a choice. And so, interestingly, it says that from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and this is cool, and be raised again the third day. Mm-hmm. So he tells them this truth that I am going to be crucified, I am going to suffer, I am going to suffer at the elders, the chief priests, the scribes' hands. It's going to be ugly. But I want you to know, I'm going, and the word and is used there. It's so awesome. And so part of this story is I'm going to be raised again the third day. So the reason that's interesting is Peter's response in verse number 22. His response is, then Peter took him, so he grabs his arm and takes him aside, and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he, speaking of Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So the second thing that you and I have to lose, we have to lose the noise of others and what they say of Christ. The second thing we have to lose is we have to lose our own ideals, our own plans, and we have to follow Jesus because he is the Son of the living God, and he is and did raise again the third day. He is risen. Peter had just admitted that Jesus was the Son of the living God. So now catch this. When the Son of the living God gives his plan and what's going to happen, Peter argues with him. Because that was not Peter's plan.
Right.
Peter's plan was to follow a Jesus who would deliver them from the Roman rule, and he would establish a kingdom. And Peter believed that. But that God had a different plan, Peter was not prepared for, because as many in that day and age believed that the Messiah that would come would be one who would immediately establish a kingdom on earth that would deliver man, deliver the Jews specifically, from the oppression of being ruled over, because God had promised that. And because Jesus rose from the dead, that promise is still going to come to pass, which is a whole different message. But the truth is, again, Jesus is trying to get them to understand something, which is going to be introduced at the end of this section of Scripture. And it was this: God has a plan, and following God's plan is the way to understand the resurrection and the way to experience, as Paul would later write by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection. God's plans are, he's the one who said, my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my words shall not pass away. So, Jesus is telling them, I'm going to be delivered to the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, And then he puts this right in there. I mean, it's right there. And be raised again the third day. So this is part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Peter gets caught up on the suffering and goes, no. And he says, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So the word shall is interesting that it's chosen there and that Peter would use it, because the word shall is still used in legal documents today, and it's the strongest word in the English language that determines that action will be accomplished. It's a stronger word than will. Shall means this is what's going to make the contract complete.
Right.
And so here's what Peter says. That is not, as long as I'm standing here, I'm not going to allow that to happen. He gets caught up in his plan and being the guy who's going to, you know, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, can you see Peter going, yeah, that's right. Yes, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven and whatsoever things. And Peter's going, oh, yes, man. And I don't think he was necessarily full of pride as much as he was charged up about this plan
mm-hmm.
and excited about it.
Right.
And like we would be.
Sure.
And so then the Bible says that Jesus looks at him in verse 23 and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest, listen to this, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. We have to put away our plan or what we think God is or Jesus is. We have to accept the truth from the Word of God, who Jesus is, how he walked on the earth, that he physically died, that he physically rose again, and that that was all part of God's plan from the beginning. In Isaiah 53, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, in verse 5. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Those verses out of the Old Testament in Isaiah 53 give us God's plan for the Messiah right there.
Right.
Jesus was going to come. He was going to suffer. He was going to die. He was going to be buried with the wicked in a rich man's tomb, and he was going to be raised again to see the things that he had accomplished by obeying the Father. And the Hebrews tells us that he learned obedience by going to death. Philippians chapter number 2 says, by the death of the cross, specifically. So Jesus, in his obedience, and in this plan, verse number 21, it doesn't matter how the world feels about it. You know, some people in the world say, well, I don't want a Savior who could be easily crucified. Excuse me, the Bible says without the blood, there is no remission of sins.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to believe it the Bible way, God's way, not man's way. There is an easy way to Christ. It's so easy that we don't like it. And here it is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we have to forget what our plans are, and we have to believe that Jesus is the only one that can do what needs to be done in our lives to, first of all, save us from our sins, and then to sanctify us and make us profitable unto the things that would promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and ultimately bring glory to God by Christ Jesus in the church throughout all ages, world without end. And that's only going to be done by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. And that's, I think that sometimes we get so caught up in spring that we don't recognize that this is literally the celebration of a world-changing event.
Right.
Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And it's awesome. It's an awesome thing that we get to experience that as believers, and it's life-changing.
Absolutely. And I'm thankful it is.
Yes.
For sure. And, you know, and wrapping up here, just a couple minutes left, but, you know, our show title, Hunting the Way, and like you say, it's a couple of things and just what you brought up today. If we allow that noise in our life, it's very, very easy to get distracted and lose your way. And if you look at, like I say, disciples being right there, you know, with the Lord, and I mean, for him to even have to ask them that, do you know who I am? So our question for today is, on this Resurrection Sunday, you know, do you know who he is? As Brother Ron clearly stated, it's a choice. And certainly, make no bones about, you know, I go to First Baptist Church of Englewood. I'm Baptist, but we're not talking about that. We're just talking about, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Have you taken your place as a sinner, realize Christ died for you, rose again for you, and that he wants to save you? And again, that is a free choice of yours. And love the word shall, as Brother Ron pointed out, because it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So
yes, amen.
Amen. So that's awesome. Well, Brother Ron, listen, hope you guys just have a great Resurrection Sunday today. And thank you so much for being with us today on Hunting the Way.
Hey, I really appreciate it. And this is one of my favorite celebrations because we are truly worshiping the risen Savior. He is risen.
Absolutely. And with that, thank you for joining us today for Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, my guest, Pastor Ron Jones. Again, if you're in that area of El Dorado, Kansas, please stop by and see him. Let him know you heard him on Hunting the Way. Everyone, have a great day and happy Resurrection Sunday.